The recordings have started.
Okay, thanks. Glenn, could you do a reading of who's here?
Certainly, Avery.
Thank you.
We have on the call Olga Cavelli, who is a nominating committee appointee, Avery Doria, the GNSO chair, Bill Drake, non-commercial constituency, Steve Metellus, intellectual property constituency, Chuck Gomes, registry constituency and the GNSO vice chair, David Maher, registry constituency, Alan Greenberg from the ALAC. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Julie Headland, Rob Hogarth, Ken Bauer, Marika Koenigs, and Glenn de Saint-Gerie. And we have Raimundo Becker, our board member and member of the SIC as well on the call. Thank you, Avery. And
thank
we
you.
Have apologies from Philip Shepherd and Tony Holmes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we're just about even between volunteers and staff. Okay, I always look for that proportionality. Okay, I put two things on the agenda for today. One is, and this is with thanks, asking Raimundo to just sort of go over the responses and ask people if they have any clarifying questions that they want to ask on these. And then second is to try and walk through the latest version I have of the updated bylaws, where I tried this morning to include any changes that would be forced by the board decisions and the SIC decisions, which I understand will not be reviewed again until such time as the board reviews the bylaws. So it's not that the board is going to review these decisions, it's that the bylaws will eventually, of course, be approved by the board. And at that point, the board can say they want something different. But until then, the SIC decisions are our working board decisions. And I believe, looking through that, that we may be very close to completing, but I'd like us to do the walkthrough. I also hope that people could stay longer than the hour if we need to try and make it to the end of that walkthrough, so I know how close we are to actually being able to put a charter out for constituency review before we vote on it. So, having said that, any change to that? Okay, thanks. Raimundo, would you like to walk us through the changes? I tried to quote the changes in our spreadsheet so that we had one document instead of two. I don't know if people can see it. I also want to note that it's very nice of the board. You actually went through all of the 10 questions and gave us readings on all of those, and thank you. So, Raimundo, the floor is yours.
Just one quick question. Raimundo, would you like me to put up in Adobe Connect the spreadsheet that you sent around to go through?
Hello?
Might as well put it up just to have it there.
Okay.
Okay. On question one, which was the number of representatives to be appointed by each...
I can't hear very well.
Regarding question one, which was about the number of representatives to be appointed by the stakeholder groups, if this was a matter of discussion, the answer, as you can see then, is that the even distribution of the stakeholder groups in each house is not on discussion.
Okay, thanks. Any questions? If it's okay, I'll check and see if there are questions after each one before moving on. Any questions on question one? Okay, thank you.
Two is in regards about the names of houses of stakeholder groups and of constituencies. On the houses issue, the six things that it is not the we cannot change that. On the regarding now the stakeholder group, the idea is that the stakeholders could not be changed except if the at the moment of drafting the charters there could be some exceptions.
Question there.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I was going to wait at the end of the question, at the, but go ahead, Chuck.
We shouldn't use some names like which make confusion, like suppliers, providers.
So, Raimundo, does that mean then that the official name would stay the same, but they could amplify it in their charters, or does that mean that they could change the official name in their charters?
No, I think that in the discussion of the charter there could be some flexibility.
Okay.
But for the time being, no changes on the groups.
In the bylaws, yeah. Okay.
The bylaws.
Thanks.
Well, regarding the names of constituencies, what was indicated here is that this is not a thing which should be. Which should be indicated in the bylaws, and the names will be in the charters.
Okay, thanks. Any questions on question two? Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, in the assignment of the non-common appointees, the six things that this is really an issue that should be stated in the bylaws, and the nominating committee will indicate which is the assignment of each of the three NCA appointees. But for the first year, the board should state a procedure to select in the appointees the assignment in the first year.
Okay, thanks. Raimundo, I have a clarifying question on Q3. And that is, so will the, even though let's say on a year when it's only appointing one person, it will also give a decision if it's changing any of the others, or just that seat will always be the seat in a particular house?
The assignment will be for the three starting in next year.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions on Q3? Okay, thank you. Q4.
Yeah. The question four is regarding the allocation of seats to constituencies. It was about mainly about the fact that if all constituencies have the seat granted. The SIG decision is that the allocation of seats to constituencies with each stakeholder group is not a bylaws issue, and the procedures of the of allocation of council seats by each but each stakeholder group will be defined in their charters. And the SIG considers that not necessarily each constituency will have the right to elect one councillor.
Okay, any questions on Q4? Okay, thank you. Q5.
Question 5, which is a big discussion in the list. The question 5 is the geographic definition obligation and bylaws issue or not. And the indication of the SIG is that the stakeholders group will elect independently. We could not put all those numbers in the bylaws, but only the principle. and the principle is to widen as much as possible the regional diversity.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that one?
And specific language in each church. Hmm?
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Any questions on Q5? Okay, thank you. Q6.
Question 6 is about the approval by both houses or only of the affected houses in the exceptions. Well, the language of the SIC is the bylaws should only mention that that an exception to the general rule that no council may select to serve more than two consecutive terms may be accepted in special circumstances. However, the details of the approval should be left to the rules and procedures of the houses and the stakeholder groups. For the time being, it seems premature to decide if these rules and procedures should need or not the approval of both houses.
Okay, thank you. Anybody with questions for that one? No? Okay, thank you. Q7?
Question 7. The question is, to what extent does the contractual nature of policy decisions require that rules be in the bylaws? And the statement is that the sole exception of those cases where general counsel advises that particular policy rules should be moved to the bylaws, all policy rules should be specified at the rules and procedures level. Notwithstanding, the bylaws should include voting thresholds or policy development which could cover the main contractual concerns.
Okay, any questions on question 7? Okay, thank you. Question 8.
Question 8?
Yes, please.
Question 8 is for items that can be moved, rules and procedures, which one should be part of council rules and procedures, and which one should be house-specific rules and procedures? And the answer is that the bylaws should not specify which items should be moved to the council or the house's
Okay. Any questions on 8? Okay. Thank you. That would have been a hard meta rule to write, but thank you. Q9.
Question 9. Board, which is the board preference on the allocation of seats 13 or 14? The answer is that it's premature. This is that today, and that the GNSO should select that after seeing the final name. So the SIG recommends to weigh this. And to wait also because this issue is related to the board review.
Okay, thank you. On Q9, I have one comment on Q9 before I open it, which is in not changing it, which is I think we would still need to make an amendment to the bylaws just so what was standing there was legal, in that since we will no longer be voting as a single unit but as houses, that there needs to be amendments that says by 60% of the houses, awaiting any further change that might come from the board. But, you know, that was the only thing that occurred to me in reading that, is that without amending it at all, we would have an anachronism that should the board review not be completed by next April, there would need to be a bylaws change made immediately. So I open that for discussion later.
Well,
any other questions are on Q9?
You decide that this is a bylaws issue because if you see the other SO, the SO that decides that they proceeded to elect the board directors.
Aubrey, could I get in the queue?
Yeah, Chuck, you can get in the queue. One comment is I think it's currently in the bylaws, so we need to do something. But Chuck.
Yeah, C-13 ends on April 13th. I think our requirement is that we have to start the process 6 months before then. So I don't think April 13th is the cutoff for that.
Any other comments?
It should be one of the first things to the GNSO to regard.
Okay.
But it's not necessarily a bylaw.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so we'll have to look at that. Perhaps we just remove, or we'll have to change it then to say those seats are elected by the council, rules to be determined by the operational rules and procedures, and that would be the amendment that would be made there, as opposed to the procedure that's in the bylaws now. Okay, any other questions or comment on Q9? Okay, Q10.
Okay. Question 10 is about the additional limitation to directors appointed to the board by the GNSO. And the answer is that there is no reason why the current bylaws regarding the limitation to directors appointed by SOs to the board should be amended in the case of seats 13 or 14. However, at the end of the day, in accordance to the final decision adopted for the question 9, it may become necessary to add into the bylaws a limitation regarding that board directors may not be simultaneously employees of contracted parties.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that?
This is Steve. I'm a little confused about 9 and 10. 9 seemed to say, I thought I heard that it would be up to the council to decide
yes.
procedures for electing, but 10 seemed to say that the bylaws could specify the qualifications.
Exactly.
Right. I guess the bylaws could add a constraint that if I understood, if the procedure that is picked makes it possible that there could be two from contracted parties, then we may need to add that to the bylaws. Is that correct?
Exactly. Well, the case is very difficult that it happened, but it may happen that the non-contracted parties house may elect a contracted director.
It's Alan. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, the words in your answer are simultaneous employees. That means if someone changes a job partway through their term, they might have to resign because of that.
Also,
one of them would have to resign.
Okay.
Everett, before we finish, can I go back on a clarification on Q10?
Yeah, I was going to open it up to just any questions that had come up during the thing. So are there any more on Q10? Okay, any other questions retroactively on any of this?
Yeah, on Q3. I was slow on the uptake. I think I heard Raimondo say at the end that every year the nominating committee would say where the three people go, not just the ones who were appointed this year. Is that what I heard, or did I mishear?
The first thing that we, until this issue is in the regime, we need about 3 years. But anyhow, the first appointment will be done by the board, by a procedure defined by the board.
Understand.
And then for the rest of the year, the nominating committee will assign the names. If they are going to assign the name for 3 years, or for 1 year, or for 2 years, that's their right.
Okay,
so surely in that case, what I would do, and if I were in the non-com, the new ones are appointed for their whole term, and the other ones for the rest of them.
Okay, so you would expect them to be appointed for their full term in this, wherever they are put, but that's not being specified in the
exactly.
bylaws. Okay.
Flexibility to the non-com.
So, okay, we'll probably need a statement in the transition process to say about that the board will do the determination until such time as the NOMCOM is able to, or something like that.
In any case, in this first, the accommodation will be only for 1 year.
Right.
So in theory, the NOMCOM could change the appointment of someone appointed by the previous NOMCOM.
Exactly.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on these?
I guess I have one real quick on question four. The procedures for allocation of council seats should be defined in the charters. So we are waiting on a charter to be told what the non-commercial charter will look like and so on. And does this mean then that what we are given could specify that the seats should be allocated by constituency or no? I don't quite understand.
Well, the charter will indicate the procedures for electing the council by each stakeholder group.
Right.
But the charters are now under review. The determination of the SIC at this moment is to issue before, not the charter, but some principles. And I'm waiting also to see if the public consultation gives some input. The SIC is not going to post it, as it was thought, by the end of May. Will not issue the new draft of charters. It has not been decided if with those principles the staff will propose a charter to the stakeholders, or we will issue only the principles and a new round for the stakeholders to draft their charter with those principles.
The principles would be the same across the charters?
Yes, sir.
And Raimundo, when do you expect those principles to be issued?
It seems to me that before Sydney.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much for this, Raimundo. It's been very, very helpful, I believe. At this point, I'd like to, if there are no more questions on the board's issues, and of course, if they come up in the course of the discussion in the charter, I'd actually like to move to walking through the charter. At this point, let me get that. So I'm going with the charter that's in the wiki at the moment that I have been working on. I tried to update it with the proposed changes for discussion. And I'm not sure that I caught everything, and that's one of the reasons to walk through it. But I think, though, that with except for a few issues, things have gotten fairly close to resolve on most issues. First of all, in our last discussion, we did discuss a rewriting of Article 10, Section 2. Pending issues there, since I think the general rewriting was open, there was a pending issue in I on whether it includes, if any, since the decision of whether there were multiple constituencies within one stakeholder group was not being defined in the bylaws. Therefore, that change was made, and such. So were there any open issues on that section? Okay, moving on. The next one was, and tell me if I missed one. Yes?
I do want, on the record, that we will not support the change you've noted on 1D.
1D.
U1.
Oh, okay. We weren't quite up to that, but okay. Well, okay, but the change that I've indicated is the one that's predicated on the board's...
I agree. No, I don't disagree with that.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't making any arbitrary choices here. I think I tried not to. Okay, thank you. Okay, and on D, there was also the removal of the word an individual leaving the house as non-commercial stakeholder group. Then on, let me see, in E, there was the change I proposed last time that no one questioned for Q17, including, for example, the making and seconding of motions and of serving as chair if elected for the non-voting NCA. And then one non-comma appointee. And then it says selection procedure defined elsewhere in the bylaws, and it is defined elsewhere as although adopted is a word that probably shouldn't be there. Okay. Then the next one has been eliminated. And Q4 was eliminated, correct? It doesn't quite show as eliminated at the moment, but it had been. No individual may hold more than one council seat. And then Q5 was basically, we had various possibilities for it. This has been an object of a lot of discussion. I have included Philip's latest. I've also included one that I wrote up after reading the board's decisions and sent around to the list that basically reads, stakeholder groups should, in their charters, ensure their representation on the GNSO Council is as diverse as possible, including geography, GNSO constituency, sector, ability, and gender. That strikes me as what was basically indicated by the SIC. I'm wondering if people accept that as the proper statement given everything that's going on at the moment. Does anybody object to that?
This is Steve. My only suggestion is that you track the, since basically we're kind of in the position now the SIC is dictating this, and most of the work we've done over the last several weeks has been kind of a waste of time, but let's stick to their language, which is as much as possible and practical.
So,
go with your language, but say as possible and practical.
Okay.
That seems like a good idea.
Isn't that redundant?
Okay.
No, something possible, but maybe not practical.
Yeah, lots of things are possible that are not practical. I'm constantly accused of doing things that are possible but not practical in my personal life. Just as an example. Okay.
The question is, who's going to be the Supreme Court to decide each time whether a stakeholder group has actually met that criteria?
I think that's for the board and the stakeholder group at chartering time and at rechartering time,
okay.
I would assume.
Okay. So the charter would have to be more specific than that?
The charters will have to be more specific, yes, and I guess that's what we'll see in the guidelines that we get from the SIC for charters. But in what they said, it looks like that is a matter for the stakeholder groups and their charters.
Okay.
And that does save some of the complexity of 3 versus 6 and all the what does it mean for parity to exist. Okay. In Q17, in the next paragraph, basically I had mentioned it prudent for last time, was to make its second motions or to serve as an officer as exceptions. And this was the other half of the NCA, since we used the same phrasing of, but otherwise shall be entitled to participate on equal footing, to differentiate the two equal footings. Any issues on that one? Okay. None in the next paragraph. Okay, then the special circumstance, Q6. And basically, a special circumstance is approved. I'm not quite sure what to do with this one. Perhaps this whole sentence comes out as, or a circumstance is approved by, at the moment I had it as defined in the GNSO operational rules and procedures. But if I understood Raimundo correctly, it was up to each house? I'm not clear.
Aubrey, this is Steve. Could I get in your
Hi. Please, Steve. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Steve.
I think you should strike in the first sentence of that paragraph, strike such as to meet geographic diversity requirements, because the SIC clearly is only talking in its answer to Q6 about term limitations.
Okay, well, this was one possible reason for an exception to term limitations. So it was just an example. Do other people agree with striking it?
I'd leave it in.
Well, okay, there are no more geographic diversity requirements in the bylaws, so you're talking about the geographic diversity requirements in the charters.
In the individual charters, yes. And any diversity, any other diversity requirements that end up in the charters. So maybe what I need to do is add such as but not limited to meet geographic or other diversity requirements defined in charters. Would that be better?
It's hard to say, yeah, and it's hard to know until we know what the charters say, but...
Aubrey, one of the...
Okay, at the moment, what I've got is such as, but not limited to, meeting, and I'll have this in there so people can see it, geographic or other diversity requirements defined in charters. And I'll save this so people can see it. Saving. Okay, it's saving, so anybody that wants to refresh their screen will have the updated language. And it should be in italics. So except in special circumstances, but not limited to meeting geographic or other diversity requirements defined in the I didn't get defined in the stakeholder group charters in italics, but it should be. And I will do that now, but I won't resave it. Just so I have the change and marked. Okay, so that means also that the last sentence would go out. Or do I need a sentence in there saying who approves a special circumstance?
Aubrey, this is Stefan. Don't you have a word missing in the first sentence?
I might well.
So I'm trying to get my head
Which
around
word?
It. But
Which
I'm not
word?
Sure what the word is, but it sounds like,
except
it seems like...
Such as, but not limited to, meeting geographic or other diversity grounds. Well, no. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, reads fine to me.
I mean, yeah, it's a little clausy, but I think it's... I don't think there's a mistake.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's just too many commas for me.
You're right, it's a little clausy, yeah. Okay, now what do I do about the last sentence there? A special circumstance is approved by. And at the moment, the special circumstance, according to the board, the special circumstance would be approved by the stakeholder group, is that correct?
Or by a house.
Or by a house. Or is it best to just leave a special circumstance is approved by as defined in the GNSO operational rules and procedures?
Yeah, but the definition of that on the special
it is approved by not majority vote. That's definitely, we don't have majority vote anymore, so that crosses out. So basically, special circumstance is approved as defined in the GNSO operational rules and procedures. And then we can discuss whether it's by house and how many, etc. Okay, an issue on that one? Okay. Okay, then there was a lot of language that had been recommended be removed, and basically some of it has been moved to later on, and otherwise it gets moved to operational rules and procedures. Okay, 6. Each of the two GNSO houses shall make a selection to fill one of two ICANN board seats. And then as outlined below, is removed by written ballot or action at a meeting. Any such election must have affirmative votes. Okay, now that last sentence needs to be changed. I had changed it to 60% of the respected voting House members and left it at that, undifferentiated. But what, I'm not quite clear what I need to have there. Any such selection, we'll just take the last sentence out and say, basically, procedures will be defined. Procedures are be defined in the election procedures to be defined in the operational rules and procedures. Is that correct?
That's right. That's not exactly what the sticker said, is it? They just said they wanted it left out, but not necessarily that it would go while they were waiting for the final results of the board review.
That's true. I mean, we may not even have two seats after the board review, in a sense. I mean, I don't know that that's going to change, but I assume that's one of the things that theoretically could change.
Could you read what you have now?
At the moment, let me see. So, let me save what I've got now. I'm trying to have something in here that in case we reach April and the board review is not complete yet. Okay, I am saving what I've got there now. And okay, it's saved. People can refresh. So under six, I have each of the two GNSO houses. Oh, that's still wrong there because each of the two houses, it's not correct. I think the only thing we need is to know what we need. Because we don't even have the each of the two houses selection as in this. We're not basically changing.
Avery, shouldn't this be left out for now?
Something should be left out. The problem is in the bylaws as they exist, there is, I don't have those open at the moment. In the bylaws, as they currently exist, there is an election procedure. And that's what has me concerned.
Agreed, but, you know, the part about the SIC recommendation about leaving that until the final board review, should we just add a sentence saying that we're doing that maybe for now, or...?
See, at the moment we have the GNSO Council shall make selections to fill seat 13 and 14 on the ICANN board by written amount. Or actually, if we just take that sentence.
Are you reading that from the current bylaws?
Right. On the current bylaws, the first sentence says, the GNSO Council shall make selections to fill seats 13 and 14 on the ICANN board by written ballot or by action at a meeting. Now, that sentence seems to me like it should remain. Until things are changed, we don't want to have bylaws that say we have no seat selection.
Yep.
Then here, next sentence was, any such selection must have affirmative votes comprising the majority of the votes of all members. Now, that sentence is the one that needs to be changed, and that's why I recommend that we put in that will be determined.
Well, you could just say the selection shall be made in a manner as determined by the council's rules and procedures.
Right. Okay, so now it would read, the GNSO selection shall make selections to seat 13 and 14 of the ICANN board by written ballot or action at a meeting. Election procedures to be defined in the operational rules and procedures. Is that correct?
Sounds good. Have you saved it?
Not yet. I will in a second. I'm still doing it. saving. Okay, you can refresh.
Any special reason why you've written that in italics?
Because I changed it.
Okay.
I'm trying to have all of the changes that I've got at the moment in italics, right, so they're easier to find.
Just as a point of information, does written ballot imply written secret ballot? That's the reason we're... We've used
a secret ballot, but I don't know that that was absolutely required. So I think it can be secret, but I guess it doesn't have to be. The current bylaws don't specify that it is either secret or not secret, and we have been using secret. But I guess it'll be left up to the operational rules and procedures, which will be our next puzzle to solve. A lot of these questions that we didn't quite waste our time on, they've really just been moved to something that we have a little longer to discuss.
Because the wording you have there really implies you couldn't do a paper mail ballot.
Actually, I don't think it does. A written ballot can be by any means that you do written.
Right.
Okay. So really, and the rest of this should be lined out. I didn't do it in that version, but it is now. Okay, then we had Q10, where we had both seats shall not be held by individuals or implied by or an agent of. Now, we were told we don't need to have that now, but perhaps we do. Perhaps it's just provident to have that now. What do people think?
It seems like it's best to wait until we get a board direction on that.
Well, I think Raimundo certainly should correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've got board direction that something like this may be needed, and I don't think there's any circumstance where people say they want both of them, that they're fine with both of them being contracted parties. So I'm wondering whether it's just worth putting this through now.
Remember, their wording was very specifically employees of contracted parties, as opposed to someone who is affiliated with or working for.
Or an agent of. Or employed by. You're right.
They very much said employees. And since we're talking about the possibility of removing someone because of a switching job, this is quite different than what we have right now, I would think. So it needs words, but I don't think we're in a position to write them.
Okay, fine. I'll leave it crossed out. Does anybody object to leaving it crossed out?
Well, again, I just raised the question that I raised with Raimundo, which is, it seems odd that the council can decide the procedure, but that the SIC seems to be setting this qualification, and it's not one that anybody has suggested up till now, about limiting it to employees, but I guess I don't object to crossing it out. I guess I would. We're keeping what is under Q10 in there, but
with the exception of or an agent of.
No, without that exception.
Oh, without that exception. What do other people think? I guess
what was that last suggestion?
The last suggestion was what I currently have crossed out. This was, I forget who put this one in there originally for Q10, whether it was originally a staff suggestion or was originally a...
To leave it crossed out or to uncross it?
Uncross. Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
To uncross it.
I was in agreement with leaving it crossed out.
I think based on Raimundo's answer, the sixth answer, we need some placeholder to say there are restrictions, whether this is exactly the wording or not.
Yes.
But I would leave it in rather than take it out.
So would I. Except that this would not be the correct wording, would it?
Perhaps not.
So how would we
highlight that. But better that than not having a reference at all to the concept.
Yeah, I think the expectation is some of this would have to change, might have to change following the board. The board still, I guess I'm not clear on whether the board still has to make a decision about how 13 and 14 would be filled, or whether the board is saying it's up to the council to decide how it's filled.
I think there are two parts, and of course Ramondo will correct me. The first part is that the board review is ongoing, so even the existence of 13 and 14 in the long term is up for review. In the short term, though, whatever seats we do have, including 13 and 14, the council makes its decision on how they are elected within constraints that are posed in the bylaws. Would that be correct, Ramondo?
I think so, yes.
Well, in that case, I would support having this constraint in the bylaws.
Okay. And I've heard a couple other voices in favor of having a constraint. I've heard some voices that say perhaps it needs some rewording. So I guess I'll leave that one there for the moment. And we'll discuss any further.
We're really saying that this is a placeholder because we don't fully understand the constraints. We know whatever we produce is going to go through legal counsel and perhaps be reworded and then has to be approved by the board. So if we simply put a placeholder, whether it's in line or out of line, saying that the details in this particular clause may have to be adjusted based on board decision, I think we've done our job.
I'd be more comfortable with that than having just the thing that's been crossed out right now just reappear word for word, because it's obviously not going to be exactly that.
Why not?
Well,
why do you say that, Tom?
Because I, from what I was reading from the SICK thing, I get the idea that, for example, an agent of might not be in there.
Right. Basically, they had the limitation regarding that both directors may not be simultaneously employees of contracted parties.
Or that may have been shorthand in their quick answer.
Mm-hmm. And we just don't know,
yeah.
So... that's what I was saying. You know, the placeholder idea is possibly the best one.
I mean,
Raimondo, did I hear you trying to comment?
No, I said that the idea is to keep the concept of the language. The idea is that they cannot be simultaneously employees of contracted parties.
Okay. So we really have two choices. We have the long thing that's there, and we have basically a shorter sentence that says both directors may not be simultaneously employees of contracted parties. Would be the short sentence.
Right.
It comes directly out of...
Can you read that one again? Sorry, Avery.
Both directors may not be simultaneously employees of contracted parties.
What's the argument against agent of?
Agent of is really
wasn't
hard.
In the words that SICK used.
Right, and it's really much, much broader. It means that if you do anything for a registry, even contracted to them to design a logo, at that point you would be you would lose it. So it's much broader than actually being an employee.
Agent is not described anywhere as a concept.
But to put it in perspective, by that definition, Paul Toomey is not an employee of ICANN.
Correct.
Why is that?
He's not an employee. We contract with his company to provide him. He is not an employee. I'm just giving an example that the SICK and or the board is going to have to be specific in what they're trying to do with this. We're not in a position to second guess it at the moment, though.
So why don't we just use their language?
Yeah, if they want to widen it, then they...
I will object to that. I don't think their language is right. I think for the reasons that you just pointed out, Alan, I'm not going to vote for something that doesn't make any sense.
Then let's keep the current language. We know they're going to change it if they don't like it.
This is John. Can I get in the queue, too?
Please, John. Go ahead.
Thanks. We're going to, again, I'm not the chair of the registrar constituency as of a week ago, so I won't say we, but I'm going to suggest that the registrar group object to this language as well for a lot of reasons that we raised in advance. If we're not, probably a different reason than why Steve is going to object to it, but we're not talking about when you have a principal business or anything. You could have Bill Gates as a board member and no registrar or registry would be able to be on the board. On the board because of that. So I think it's subject to gaming. There's no limitation to that. With new TLDs, there might be a new round of registrars and registries that are single use, more appropriate probably on the business constituency than, or in the non-contracted party house than on the contracted party house. And I'm worried about the gaming and the capture risks. So we will. I will likely ask that this be reconsidered as well.
Okay. So it sounds to me like we have something that almost no one in the council at this point is raising their hand saying they would definitely vote for. And the board can stick in bylaws beyond what we recommend. So perhaps we should leave it blank.
No, I agree with that. That's what I was saying earlier on, but other people
and then,
don't seem to agree.
And then what could happen, and if someone in the council wants to phrase a separate motion on recommending that particular wording be added, then that could be done, and that recommendation would go with either a majority or a supermajority vote, depending on how it went, to the board as a separate parallel motion. But that it not be in the overall recommended changes that the council votes on.
So just put a placeholder in, in square
bracket. Well, it doesn't
bracket
need a placeholder
to be filled in.
Doesn't even need a placeholder.
Okay.
I don't think. We'll see how it looks when it's all said and done. Okay, go into the next one. Okay, this was one that I talked about. I don't know if I got to talk about it. I talked about it on the list. That we had talked about on the list in terms of one of the board's requirements for us had been what happens if the two houses can't elect a chair, since there is a constraint in here in a chair. So I added this, which had been discussed on the list and didn't seem to have any objection. Q18, in the event that the GNSO Council has not elected a GNSO Council chair by the end of the previous chair's term, the vice chairs will serve as interim GNSO co-chairs until a successful election can be held. A four-month interval will be allowed for between subsequent elections. Any objection or issues with that?
What does the last sentence mean?
It means that you're not going to be in a state of constant election. That basically if you fail to elect, then you're going to remain with the two vice chairs as co-chairs until you have another election in 4 months.
This is John. Could I ask a question?
Of course.
So If we have this situation, do you think it's likely, don't folks think it's likely that we'll just have co-chairs forever?
No. I don't. What do others think? I think after 4 months of co-chairs, there'll be a decision of some sort.
I don't think we can count on that, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd like to think that, but it may not happen. Depends on the co-chairs.
Well, if co-chairs is working out really well, then maybe not. If co-chairs isn't working out,
right. Then...
But it's not a situation we'd like to see prolonged, even if the co-chairs are working well.
Well, maybe if they were working well, you wouldn't mind.
I'd rather have it set in stone.
That there will be a chair?
That there will be a chair and that there's a process to have one.
The downside of 4 months is if there are some backroom discussions which can come to closure quickly, they're prohibited from doing it.
Oh, we could say up to a 4 month.
Well, that doesn't satisfy every.
I'm only trying to find a procedure. I don't really care.
Okay.
there's no need to satisfy me on this. I'm merely trying to find something that people are willing to agree to. I have no preference on it at all, nor do I feel any ownership to the words. Okay, well, we can cross out that last one, and at least it leaves it open for backroom deal making.
Cross out what?
The 4-month interval bit. Other than that, we need to, other than doing something like this and keeping the thresholds the same, you would need to define, well, if we can't elect by 60, can we elect by 50? If we can't elect by 50, can we elect by 40? And I that was not one that I didn't want to do creative writing on. So that's why I suggested this as the backup, so that there was chairing if you couldn't elect a chair.
Sorry to complicate it, but what happens if there's difficulty in electing vice chairs?
If the houses can't elect vice chairs, I think that you have to send a message to the board saying we're dysfunctional, please help.
Close down the house.
Exactly.
We've got to cover this, but I actually think that, you know, this is probably not going to occur very often. But we still have to cover it.
And perhaps within the GNSO operating rules and principles in electing a chair, you know, you'll come up with a voting principle. I mean, I've seen several discussed. And, you know, go to Wikipedia and you can find all kinds of complicated voting procedures where eventually you come out with a decision. So, you know, this is just a fallback. If you haven't elected a chair, you've at least got something.
I mean, if you look at the situation of a stakeholder group, of a house not being able to elect a chair, ignoring the situation of people missing from the vote, that really means a stakeholder group cannot make a decision. Because any stakeholder group who votes unanimously for a given person, the NomCom appointee will sway, will make the decision. But it should be possible for them to do it. The situation where they can't goes down to an absurd one.
Well, of course, Alan, you're I think you're probably right in most cases, but you're assuming that a given stakeholder group is unanimous in their organization for a particular candidate, which may not be the case. We're going to have a lot more diversity, for example, in the registry's constituents.
You're saying we could have 4 candidates and each of them get 25% of the total market.
Yeah, there's a
total market. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Okay, so is it okay to leave this one as it is for now, with the exception of having removed, and by the way, remove that and you can refresh, a 4-month interval will be allowed. And if somebody comes up with a better phrase, I'm certainly more than willing to substitute it, but for now, it at least satisfies the, if we can't figure out how to elect someone, or say, if you can't figure out how to elect someone, there's at least a backstop.
And so the assumption then on that, Aubrey, is that the vice chairs would serve as co-chairs until such time that an election occurs?
Until a successful election occurs. And the vice chairs can change. I mean, let's say that, you know, you haven't had, you know, because Alan asked this at one point, saying this assumes that, you know, the vice chairs have been elected already. And I think except for day zero, by and large, there will be vice chairs. And, you know, even if the yearly election hasn't happened yet, and then it just, they re-elect the vice chair, and then there's a new one. It doesn't, the last year's vice chair, this year's vice chair doesn't matter.
The only
time this is possibly problematic is at time zero.
I hesitate to point it out, but this is probably, I think, the only action that houses have to take. And they, of course, have no charter or formal rules. So someone should be thinking about,
that
sometime.
Yeah. Okay. Something I keep crossing out, but for some reason doesn't appear to be crossed out. Then the next one, it should just be contracted parties house, not our house designated for contracted parties. That had been the language I used in while waiting for the decision, and I crossed it out, but for some reason the cross out seems to be missing. And then second, B2, non-contracted party house, and the rest of it is crossed out. House designated for non-contracted parties had been that. Then in the following lines, individuals crossed out, three was crossed out, and 10 was crossed out. And why those don't show as crossed out, I don't understand. Sometimes I edit things in this and it just doesn't believe me. I just try doing it again and saving, see if it shows up.
Isn't it nice to finally have a decision from the board on these house names and SG names? So we don't.
Well, they had already decided once. We just asked if we could change them.
I'm glad that debate's been put to rest.
Yeah.
And so far as any debate is ever fully put to rest.
Avery, you've been doing this for too long, I think.
And that's why I have term limits. Okay, let me see, where were we?
So it's just as soon as you finally understand things, you have to leave.
Well, we can be grateful for term limits. Okay. Let me see. I tried crossing it out. Did it cross out? 4 month intervals crossed out. Actually, they took them all except the last line where 10 was crossed out, and it just didn't take it. But anyhow, it's just 13 voting members. Okay. Nothing changed in the next paragraph. Staff support and funding change did not change. Okay. In Article 10D, individuals was crossed out. And, okay, we had one that we've never talked about. In D213, we had the at-large or at-large written large or non-commercial at-large community in added at D. So non-commercial stakeholder group representing a full range of non-commercial entities of the Internet. Then is there any follow-on phrase? Such as, and members of at-large, non-commercial, at-large community.
I object, Alan, I object strenuously to any reference to at-large.
So both written large or small?
Small is not a technical term, but people are going to misread it anyway.
Right.
And you're just asking for continual confusion on a subject that has generated far too much talk anyway.
Yeah, I'm confused on this. At large caps means the ICANN at large, and at large not caps means everybody, right?
It means the world, but people are still going to, we've tried to use the term constituency, uppercase meaning one thing and lowercase meaning other things, but even the GNSO uses it irregularly. We're not consistent and disciplined enough to do it properly, so at large, capital or not, is going to be read as the group surrounding AILAC.
Right.
So what's wrong with what was there originally? Stakeholder group representing the full range of non-commercial entities of the Internet, period.
Right.
There's been a recommended change, and we were discussing it.
No, I understand that. I'm re-asking the question.
I think nothing was wrong with it.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
So this is Steve. I think it's sort of irrelevant what we say here because it really is up to the board when it decides on the stakeholder group charters.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And that's where it'll really be defined. So, okay, I will cross
it
out.
Actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that's why, there's
only so much we can do until we get final stakeholder group charters.
But the last place you want an opportunity for ready confusion is in bylaws.
Right. Okay,
and on the subject of at-large.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last thing is, I think there was no changes. Well, there was one small one in the name of non-commercial stakeholder group that is obviously gone. But we need to add one transition point that comes out of the board here that I have not written yet, and that is something that says, and perhaps we can wordsmith it now and be done, that until such time as the NomCom can designate the house or non-voting placement of NCAs, the board will make that determination. Something like that?
Where are you?
I'm nowhere. I'm basically, this is at the end of transition articles. One of the transition things that we need to add is, and this is in Article 20, transition article, Section 5, we need to put in a statement. Oh, this would actually, this would be, properly speaking, 5F.
Okay.
Oh, actually, 5E. The three seats currently affected by the nominating shall be assigned as follows. One voting member, the contracted party, and supplier's house. Oops, got to change that. I missed that one.
Where are you in the...
I'm having trouble following you.
I am sorry. I am Article 20, 4E. We need to make a slight change to this one, other than getting rid of all the providers stuff.
Okay. Right.
It says the three seats currently selected by the nominating committee shall be assigned as follows. One voting member to the contracted party, one voting member to the user's house, and one non-voting member assigned to the GNSO council at large, written small. Then basically just need to add a sentence to this one saying initial determinations of will be made by the board or initial assignments. Initial assignments will be made by the board.
Yeah.
The wording should be by a procedure defined by the board.
So initial assignments will be made by the board. Is that okay? Or Raimundo, I didn't hear the.
I think what he's saying is that it is that the board's going to define procedures for doing that. That doesn't necessarily mean they will make the decision.
Oh, okay. So initial assignments will be made.
The SIC did say the board should define a selection procedure for the first assignment, which pretty much corresponds to
okay,
what
Okay, so I guess
I'll
just leave it empty. And because you're not going to put in the bylaws a statement that procedures
for the
will
first
be defined.
Time,
right. So the board will just make them. Okay. So there's no change there.
So 5E would be enough.
5E is enough, and maybe there's just a note to the board to remember that you got to say how. Okay. So it looks to me, I mean, I'll go through it again, but it looks to me like we have covered the changes. What I will do next is I will save what I've got. I will produce a clean copy of this without all the possibilities. So trying to leave the changes in italics, I guess, so people can see them. Hello? Olga, were you trying to say something? Oh, is that a side conversation?
Side.
Okay. So it looks like we've got a set of bylaw changes that can be put forward for comment and could even be put forward for vote at this point because we're still 2 weeks before the meeting at our Wednesday session.
I think
does anybody object to doing it? Huh?
I think you're correct, and it's very important, in my opinion, that we get this out to the constituencies and other interested parties as soon as possible to give as much time as possible for discussion.
Well, I can certainly put together, you know, later today, the clean copy, and we can even start crafting a motion. I mean, I'll craft an initial motion on it that we can put out, but we don't have to wait for the motion to send it to the constituencies for comment. But it'd be good to have this on our Wednesday. I mean, I do already have it on the Wednesday agenda for discussion. But if it would be possible to vote on it at that point, it would be great.
I would think it's only going to be possible to vote if none of the constituencies come up with changes. If they do, the others are not going to be in a position to vote or not vote for the changes, I would think.
In any of our votes, we could definitely have a constituency say, listen, we need further work on this, and it gets postponed. But it can only get postponed, as I say, we still have the obligation, the time, according to time, to have basically sent our recommendation for the bylaws change to the board by the end of June.
Okay, so we schedule it for a vote, knowing full well it may not happen if there are changes.
Right, and if it doesn't happen, then we have to take the vote at a special meeting in June so that we can give it to the board in time for them to vote on it at their July meeting. And, of course, there's the whole public comment period that they have to order before making changes.
It wouldn't be June anymore. It would be early July.
It has to be June.
Well, I think this all depends on what happens with the stakeholder group.
Well, that's sort of separate.
Yeah, but if we can't...
I mean, that's a parallel but separate thing, isn't it?
If we can't reach a decision on the Wednesday of the ICANN meeting, it's July less than a week later.
I know. That means that we have to have a special meeting a week later.
Okay.
Oh, and so what you're saying, Ellen, that would be in July, not June.
I think so. Not that it really matters a lot, but...
I'm just saying if there are really any
substantive changes proposed because of the consultation we'll have over the next 2 weeks, we're likely not to make the end of June deadline.
Well, if we don't make the end of June deadline, it is difficult to have this new council seated in Seoul.
Understand?
But it may be unrealistic, but maybe we need to at least strongly recommend that any substantial changes be made a week before the... council meeting in Sydney, if possible.
Or certainly before the Tuesday. Give time for constituency day.
Yeah.
Just in other words, the point I was bringing up is issues raised during the meeting are likely to cause the vote to be deferred.
Yeah.
Right, but if it gets deferred, what I'm looking for is that it's only deferred to a special meeting we hold the following week. And that is basically making an all-out attempt to get this done. And then a lot of the issues have been deferred, as I say, to the GNSO operational rules and procedures, which we have to start working on next, and to the stakeholder group charters, which you all in stakeholder groups, which I guess leaves out Alan and I, but you all in stakeholder groups, need to start working on with the SIC and the policy staff as soon as you get the guidelines and possibly staff recommendations on the rewritten charters. But in terms of the bylaws, I think we've taken out most of the most contentious stuff and have had board recommendations to us on any of the decisions.
So give us that timeline you're aiming for again.
The timeline that we've got is that these need to be approved by the end of June because the board needs to approve the bylaw changes by the end of July in order to be able to get the proper council to Seoul, given travel arrangements and all of that. So I've worked it out. I sent it an email, but I worked it out backwards that by beginning of August, we need to know who's going to Seoul for the council.
What I meant was, what are you planning for? So you're putting this out later on today.
I'm putting this out later on today.
So that we can send it back to each constituency, get their comments, and hopefully vote on it
at our Wednesday meeting on the 24th.
Okay, so that gives us 24th, yeah.
Right, and then what I will tentatively schedule is a meeting for, I guess, the 31st. On a special
meeting. It's the 1st of July.
There's no 31st in June. Oh, there's no other Thursday. That's why you were talking, Alan. Sometimes, I don't remember how many days there are in a month, unless I count on my knuckles.
I believe even if there were 31, it would still be July. The 30th is a Tuesday.
It would be Thursday.
Okay, but even if we did it the 1st of July, that would be good enough, or the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
But the board needs basically time to get it, to send it out for, I guess, 21-day public comment before they can vote on it. And they need to approve it by their meeting. They need to approve it in their 31st July meeting so that the stakeholder groups, and as, at that 31 meeting, they need to approve stakeholder group charters, and they need to approve the bylaw changes.
Aren't we ignoring the fact that council is likely to have to get in the loop in the middle of that and actually make sure that the wording is exactly what they're satisfied with as lawyers for bylaws?
You're talking about legal counsel?
I'm
sure legal counsel gets involved in it as soon as we start doing it. I mean, they already did take a look at it. They stopped because we went into discussion. So the legal counsel, once we stabilize it, which is hopefully now, they can start looking at it immediately. Because we shouldn't have any major substantive changes, since all constituencies have participated in this exercise.
If they don't wait for us to formally approve it, you're right.
And then they still have that month, and in any case, before the board votes.
No, we have to put it for comment, the actual words, I'm sure.
That's true.
So this all boils down to the fact that we need to get this out as quickly as possible.
Yes. Yeah, and that's been the fact for the last... Basically, if we're going to have this... Because this is also allowing a month for all these SGs to come into existence and to make their choices about who their representatives are. And a month's going to be tight for them, too. I bet. So that's why, even though we haven't gone to Sydney yet, we're already almost late on getting it seated for Seoul.
So this is out later on today or tomorrow, and we send it...
Oh, this will be out later today.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to do it after I get off this phone call. I've got two things to write today, but getting this out is my highest priority, and my other deadline is, what, midnight on June 8th, so I'm fine. So this will be out later today in the wiki. I won't have the motion perhaps crafted yet, although, you know. And what I actually recommend we do on changes of wording, and what I'd like to do, is that the changes of wording come as amendments that we vote on before voting on this, is what I would sort of recommend. That the motion will get made that the bylaws be changed to read as follows, and that anything that anybody wants to change comes through as an amendment on that.
When you suggest the new bylaws, would you be sending out two versions, one final version without any of the red lines in it and one red line version?
I'm going to be leaving this red line version in the wiki forever, and I'll send out a clean version.
Okay.
So anybody that wants to go back can go look at this, and by going through the history, can look at the whole history of changes. Is that okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
I think before it goes to public comment, I think
it would probably be helpful, if you can, to also send out a red line version, which we can then forward to the constituencies. But if that's not practical, then we'll just give them the link.
Yeah,
I suggest you don't do that because if you send out the red line version, people are going to discuss it no end.
Right.
Well, also that would be difficult for me because I don't have the original version in anything but wiki. And what I'm going to do is send out a version that's not wiki. I mean, I have it in wiki.
I guess we're talking about different things here, but that's okay. If you send out a clean version, people can do a compare or something.
Yeah.
But by the time it goes out for public comment, the staff will have to have done that, surely. But I think asking us to do that right now is adding an extra time.
Public comment is after we've done our votes on it.
And legal counsel.
Right. And, yeah. And, I mean, if staff wants to do it now from the current view to this one, they're more than welcome to, but that's not a step I'm going to take. Okay. Anything else at this point? So I guess our next step, other than working through on this, is to start working. We could take a little bit of a break, but to start working on the GNSO operational rules and procedures. And I don't even have a copy of that in the wiki yet, and I'm going to ask for staff help in terms of getting an original copy up there and then see where we go from there.
Now, Aubrey, a question in that regard, since we have a working team working on that, how do we not preempt their role?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You're right. We shouldn't do anything on that yet until they give us something.
We should just continually encourage them that that's a time-sensitive task, which I
right and that
try to do
and make sure that they've got the make sure that they've got the changes. I mean, one of the things
there's a bunch of things that we've identified that are now their task, which they may not have known before. So, to the extent there's overlap in the groups, we need to make sure there's continuity, there's communication.
Right, and it's quite possible that. Basically, I don't know. One of the things we need to look at is I don't know to what extent any of that needs to be done before this new council is seated. Approving those may be the first act of this new council.
Approving what?
The new operational rules and procedures. Although they also need to be blessed by the board, so we need to figure out the timing on those, but we don't need to do that right now. We need to start thinking through that, and I just haven't thought that through yet. In other words, we need to have a council seated in Seoul. They need operational rules and procedures. To a large extent, we don't want old council to have put in rules and procedures they must live by, except for those which are necessary to suit them and to make them functional.
Realistically, if we're just going to barely get the bylaws in place, we're not likely to get rules and procedures in place, including board approval
and
public comment.
We have an extra month on that because they can be approved they don't need to be approved at just the live board meeting. They could be approved at the August one or even the September one. Because they're not necessary for electing the SG representative.
And I think it's accurate to say that not all of the rules and procedures are critical to the seating of the new council, and so there's certain elements that we at least need to have a starting off process for working, and I think the working team understands that.
Right. Basically, and in terms of the timing, what we don't have is we don't have to have these approved in time to elect new representatives in order to get them tickets to Seoul. So those 2 months that are taken up by that, we have at least one of those extra months for working. Okay, folks. Thank you very much. Thanks for sticking with the meeting. Thank you for all the consensus building.
Thank you for all the hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye. Talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Or maybe I won't talk to you until I see you. Bye-bye.